So my plan for today is to share with you what the Lord has put on my heart. And then David will end with a psalm, a reading from a psalm that I have. Psalm 2. Okay. And then my son is going to come up and give us a real praise report of how really good God has been to us. So he's going to share that. I've determined that when God gives me something, I'm going to give it away. Because really, that's all I have to give is what he gives me. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Fred, this is such a blessing, your prayer, because here's the first scripture the Lord gave me. 1 Corinthians 2:9. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, what God has in store for those who love him. No eye has seen it yet. No ear has heard it yet. What God has in store for those who love him. Teaching is good, but impartation is better. We have many teachers, but not many fathers. And in this hour, when God is raising up the young, he's anointing them with things that are just exciting me, I realize that he's bringing the older and the younger generations together. And so those seasoned men and women of God, you need to reach out, you know, beyond these four walls and reach out and touch these young people and be that father and that mother in the spirit and impart to them what God has given you. This year is going to be a year of fulfillment of promises. Now, God gave me that word, and I know that if there's anyone here that will believe it, that's your promise too. This year is a year of fulfillment of promises. Now, I heard this at a conference recently, and it really ministered to me. We can be no earthly good unless we are heavenly minded. We have the mind of Christ. And how do we get the mind of Christ? We go to the Word. We abide in his presence. And as we do that, he begins to transform our mind. He begins to show us how he thinks. This next one, this is going to sound odd, but trust me, as we get further into the word, it's going to make sense. So after I say it, just hold the thought. Don't discount a little light. In a pitch black forest, a flashlight comes in real handy. Lately, you know, God talks to us how we listen, and lately, that movie Top Gun, it just keeps going through my mind, and I'm going, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? You remember in the movie that, you know, Tom Cruise played this really, you know, arrogant pilot, and he thought he was all that, you know, and he goes into this bar, and he's trying to win the girl over with all his, you know, image of himself and how good he is and all that, and she looks at him, and she says, you know what? It's going to take more than fancy flying to impress me. this is going to make sense too as we get further into the Word, because it's really not about us and what we think we can do for God, because that's not what impresses Him. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question that God asked me, and I don't want you to answer the question out loud. I want you to either write it down or just answer it in your mind. And then I assure you, at the end of the message, we're going to have the answer that is pleasing to the Lord. But I want you to answer it anyway, but not out loud. How good are you? How good are you? Okay, let's go to Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and morning were the first day. Now, many people in the earth right now, they're really concerned about all of the darkness that they see. But you know what? The darkness has always been with us. But so has the light. And the light shines on the darkness. And you know, that's really dark. It's void. It's formless. It has no life. And the goodness of God, He comes and He shines His light on the darkness. So don't be so concerned about all the darkness. It's always been there. Focus on the light. Because the light is actually showing you what's dark. God has actually separated it. So you see the difference now. Continuing in Genesis, God looks at everything He creates. He's showing His goodness, His labors of love, and then on the seventh day, He rested. What is God doing? He's resting. And He wants us to enter into that rest. And the way we enter into that rest is when we cease from our works. And then God begins to work. And continuing on in Genesis, what does God do? He creates man in His own image. And He creates all this beauty. And He calls this garden the Garden of Eden. And you know, Eden means delightful, pleasurable. And then what happens? Man comes along and messes it all up. Now, I thought about that. What is the big deal anyway? I mean, all Adam and Eve did was commit one act of disobedience, and we all fall into sin because of this one act. What was so evil in God's sight that this caused man and woman to fall into sin? Genesis 3, 1 through 4, the fall. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes are going to be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Okay, we were made in God's image. We are to be like God. But here's the difference. Satan knows this, and he's just kind of spinning it here. Satan fell because rather than share in the goodness of God and let God teach him, he wanted to be God. This is the temptation with man today. And this is what caused Adam and Eve to fall. It wasn't enough for them to allow God to be God to them, to share in all of the goodness that he created. There's only one who can create, who can tell us what is good and evil, and that is God. God tells us, because God is the only one who is good. Man, left to his own devices to discern what's good and evil, cannot do this. God is the only one who wants to be the one to determine what is good and evil. That's why we need to listen to him and follow him. Man left to his own devices does not know good. Jeremiah 17:9. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Now, in this day, in this hour, when darkness is so dark, it's very important, and I know the Lord keeps speaking this to us, but it's really, really important that in these days, you let the light of God shine on you and tell you what's good and evil. Because we live in days right now when men and women are calling good evil and evil good. You want discernment of what's good and evil? Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Mature men and women of God have been eating the solid food. They know the source of the food, which is the bread of life, the word of God. They no longer want the milk, but solid food. And this is why they can discern good from evil. Evil. How good are you? Luke 18:19. Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? There is no one good except God alone." Was Jesus God-like? Was he the image of God in the earth? Colossians 1:19, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all of the fullness of God to dwell in him. John 14:8-11, Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I'm not speaking them of my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Jesus' only desire was to be in the Father, living with the Father, letting all the fullness of the Father dwell in him. But you know, that wasn't enough for a lot of people. And for some people today, it's not enough. They want their ears tickled. They want signs and wonders and miracles and that. And you know what? God will do those things. He did do those things. Jesus did so many miracles, you can't even write enough books to document them all. There were so many. But it wasn't his initial desire. Matthew 12:39. He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And we know that that is that after the third day, Jesus rose from the dead and sits at the right hand of God. This is the true miracle and sign of his coming. And no other religion in the world can claim this. I don't care what label they put on it. I don't care whose God is their idol or their theology or anything else. There's only one religion that can claim that God dwelled in a man, the Son of Man, here on earth, and that God raised him from the dead. Jesus did not raise himself from the dead. God raised him from the dead, and he lives and he sits at the right hand of God. And the sign that God is giving is that he's coming back again. Don't doubt that. He's already in the earth. Mockers are going to come. They already are here in the earth. They're laughing. They're laughing at the words of Christians. They're mocking Christians. They're persecuting Christians. They don't know God. They don't know that he's coming in a body of believers. They think that they can have an image of good. They think that they're wise. But, you know, if they're not abiding in the Lord and you don't hear the voice of God coming, don't believe it. Don't let what's being said out there be your inspiration. What's going to change the world? When the goodness of God is dwelling in us, and the only way to have goodness is to be abiding in the Lord. Goodness, you know, isn't something that you do. Goodness is a state of being. And how do we know where God is dwelling? Well, look at your life. You know, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is the fruit of God's very nature living and abiding you? Love, joy, peace, patience, godliness. It all comes from one source. And Jesus knew this. And his whole life was spent trying to just get people to understand what God was saying. He was a man acquainted with much grief over what he saw. And he was continually separating himself to go to the Father to, you know, hear what the Father was saying. His whole mission was to die for us. The last prayer that Jesus prayed was, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." If they had really known God and known the power of his love, they would never have killed them. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." This is the goodness of God, that God can take the one thing he loved the most, his only true begotten Son, the only one who really ever loved him. And God took that and he allowed this precious Lamb of God to be beaten, mocked, humiliated, laid naked on a cross, to die for us, so that we could have salvation through the forgiveness of our sins. If God can do this, he's not going to abandon you. He's not going to abandon us. He's not going to abandon his Son. That was Jesus' whole mission, to lay down his life for us. What are we to do now in this hour? Live in his presence, be a light in a dark place, and stay alert. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-5. "Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all the sons of light and the sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness." Don't discount the little light that you think is a little light in you. Because honestly, and if you're in a pitch black forest and you can't even see your nose, it's so dark, you turn on that flashlight, you can see it for miles. You let that light shine in you.
That's right.
And people are going to be drawn to that light. How good are we? We have the answer. Jesus had the answer. "Why do you call me good? There's no good in me. Only God alone is good." Jesus was never about going out to try to impress anybody, and he wasn't praying to perform miraculous signs and wonders just because he needed to prove something. That was for us, the unbelievers, who wanted proof because we didn't want to go to him. Okay. So, you're going to work the good works of God? God is already doing miracles and signs and wonders in his people. We hear of these stories all the time. He's done them in our life. But what God is really looking for right now is not how good you are. He's looking at the heart that wants all of his fullness. I want to end this with Psalm 2. And then we'll have Brandon come up. Amen.
Beautiful word. Thank you. Psalm 2. "Why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, Thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as thine inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence. Rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, lest he become angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. Did you want me to keep this?
Yeah.